as you are, you can look on page 7 in the bulletin, or you we'll begin reading in verse 9, and then we will stop at verse 13. Pray then like this. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. The word of God for the people of God. A very great danger that we face due to our hearts, sometimes due to lack of understanding, is that we, and it's not a new problem, it's a problem that we find everywhere in the Scripture, but it's that we would say, yes, we rely on God for our salvation, and then we rely on ourselves for our sanctification. That our growth in grace comes from ourselves. And yet, we know this is not a new problem, because didn't the Apostle Paul in Galatians say to them, what then? Have you begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? One of the great dangers we face is that we would rest in ourselves at any point for our Christian walk. This passage this morning, these words, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. This petition is to us the destruction of our pride. It ought to, upon the very hearing of it, put out from us any thought of sufficiency in ourselves, of any strength in ourselves, of any ability in ourselves. And it ought to drive us to find the whole of our Christian life in Jesus, to find all of our sufficiency in Him, not just our justification, but our sanctification, that we would look to Jesus to supply all of our needs. Because the reality is, I imagine that you're more like me than unlike. And if I'm wrong, you can come correct me after the sermon and you can tell me that I'm wrong. But I imagine that for most of us, our Christian walk has been summed up with, I have to do better. I have to do better. I have to stop being so impatient. I have to have the willpower. I have to stop with my tongue in the way that it's been. I have to stop in these lusts that plague me. Pick whatever sin that plagues you, whatever sin that lays upon you, that you struggle against, some problem, some trial in your life, and you walk thinking that you have to do it, or that you can do it, and you live as if you can, whether it is sin or hardship. If it's sin, you say something like this, no problem, I'll just stop being lustful. I'll just stop being impatient by being content with what I have. I won't covet what other people have, and I'll be patient. I imagine every time you've ever said that, you've found an opportunity to test that. And upon every testing, you failed. Or some hardship comes your way. But financially, you've got more months than you've got more money. Right? And the month is 3 weeks out and you've got 2 weeks worth. and you don't know how it's going to draw together, and it's some hardship, and you say, you know what, I can handle it because I'm a good Presbyterian. I know our doctrines. I know the Lord is over all, and I will get through this. Or some diagnosis comes to you, and you think you have to be stoic in the face of it because God is sovereign after all. And you rest in yourself. We rest in our intellect sometimes. We rest in other things rather than collapsing on Christ. And this passage is meant to knock your feet out from under you, so that you can't stand any longer. It's like an older brother who sneaks in on an unsuspecting younger brother and kicks both feet as he's walking. Down he goes. This passage is doing just that. Taking your feet so that you will no longer attempt to stand in your own strength, in your own intellect, in your own ability, but drive you to Christ. This petition causes us to stop, though. You get to it. And it causes us to stop because we have to say that we know that God does not and never will entice someone to sin. To say otherwise is blasphemous. But God does tempt. We're going to talk about that in just a couple of moments and what we mean by that. Because we understand that the one who tempts to sin is Satan himself. He is the tempter. And lest you try to hang it all on him, you understand that the world also comes with temptations. And lest you try to pin it all on that, your own hearts will betray you. And so this text is telling you that in everything you must not look to yourself. You must not look to others. You must look only to Christ. And so then we get to it. We're going to take this up in 2 points. We're going to see the matter of this petition. What's it dealing with when we talk about temptation here? And then the actual request, unless you think those 2 points are good and we're going to get out early, there are like 30 sub-points. And so I do the 2 main points to lull you into a sense of speediness. But the matter of this petition and the request, what's the matter? What is it that we're dealing with? And lead us not into temptation. What's meant by this? We're praying to God, asking Him not to lead us into temptation. And we know that James says that God cannot tempt and is not tempted by any. So when it comes to sin, that's not what we're talking about. The word here for temptation is the word, well, used elsewhere for trials or tribulation. It's the same word used in James. You remember? Count it all joy, my brothers, when you face what? Trials. Trials of many kinds. Temptations of many kinds. And so the word's actually a neutral word. It can be used positively. Those sorts of trials that we just mentioned in James can be used negatively. And so a lot of times people, in order to try and say, well, we can't use this of God, they'll say, and lead us not into trials. And they think they get around the difficulty. But that's not really addressing what's happening here. And so Jesus is not saying if you pray this, you'll be free of trials. Remember, he said in this world, you'll have tribulation or trials. So what is it that it's talking about? He's not saying that God will not let us enter into temptation in order to refine us, in order to remove that dross, in order to purify us. And so then, what are the trials here? What is this temptation? Well, the actual definition is to try and learn the nature or character of someone or something by submitting to such thorough and extensive testing. To test, to examine, to put to the test, examination or testing. And so that's what's in view here. Lead us not into testing. into trials. And the Lord will do that at times. And He does it for His own reasons. He does it to discover to us most often our own pride. To make us stop saying, it's okay, I can do this. To finally say, you know what, I can't do this. I couldn't bring myself into the kingdom. I can't make myself advance in the kingdom. I need Jesus. Because you don't just need Jesus at the beginning of the Christian life. You need Him at every moment. You need Him at every moment. We talked about that a little bit in Sunday school in Hebrews. Right? He upholds all things by the word of His power. So that means what? He upholds all things, you, your entire life, by the word of His power. Your Christian walk is held in Him. You don't just need Him at the beginning. You need Him in the middle and the end. And so this is meant to drive us to Him. And so God often will lead us to temptation, trials, struggles, hardship, in order to remove from us pride, in order to make us more dependent upon Him, in order that we might collapse on Him with our whole weight. Let me give you an illustration of that sort of collapsing. Sometimes when your children are young, they'll say, sit on me. And you walk over and you sit down and you are ginger about it and you sort of hold yourself up because, I mean, they're kids. You're not. And you know what the scale says. And so you sit down and you hold yourself up a little. And they say, no, a little more. Let's sit down. And so you put down a little more. And they say, no, a little more. And you finally do it. And they're like, whoa, get up. That's too much. But that's what we do with Jesus. He says, collapse upon me. And we still, in that little modicum of pride that we have, we try to prop ourselves up just a little. And Jesus says, that will not do. Collapse upon me. Your whole weight, all your sins, all your burdens, all your problems, all that you're enduring, all of your hardship, bring it upon Him. And so those trials come sometimes by His placing us in circumstances that our hearts may take occasion of sin from those circumstances. Think about it. There's Joseph away from everything. Joseph is there in the midst of Potiphar's house. And day by day, he is placed in a situation where, well, this adulterous woman comes to him. Now, Joseph appeals to God, doesn't he? How can I sin against the Lord in this way? He knows his sufficiency is in the Lord. And so he doesn't fall. But what about Achan? Sin usually is there before us, and God is using it to reveal these trials, these testings, to reveal to us the pride of our hearts, the deceptiveness of our hearts. There, Achan goes into that tent. There's no one else there to see it, and he assumes that no one will know that that gold is taken, and he takes it, doesn't he? He has opportunity, and his heart goes after it. And the Lord left him to that. That he might see there's no sufficiency in himself. Peter was put in a place to deny. Jesus didn't make him deny. Jesus prayed for him. Jesus told him that he would deny him. And Peter said, no. Though everyone else will fall away, I will follow you even to death. And they all said it. Those soldiers come. And all of them run away, and Peter follows at a pace, and what does he do? He gets into the court of the high priest, and they start questioning him. And it's revealed to him, isn't it? His pride. His reliance upon Peter and not upon Christ. And so the Lord will allow that sort of circumstance, that sort of trial, that sort of testing, that you might rely on Him. And then he also permits Satan or others to tempt us to sin, doesn't he? All of the angels were coming before God, and God asks them to give account. And what does he say? Have you considered my servant Job? And there the devil is unleashed, and Satan would accept that God is holding the chain, would kill Job. He would destroy him. He would destroy everything. And yet the Lord allows it in order that he might be thrust upon him. And Satan would tempt him to deny God. And he uses not just Satan, but Satan uses others. What did Job's wife come and say? Deny God. Curse him. Go ahead and die. Why? Why is it then he would allow it, that we might be thrust upon Jesus, that we might be thrust upon Christ? And so then, how do we take this petition? What do we do with this matter? Well, the best thing that we can do, the best way to analyze it is to view it in action. Look in Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 39. You see it in action. They go out to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. And he came to the place, and he said to them, what? Pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he withdrew. He withdrew from them about a stone's throw and knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. What does he do? He's strengthened by an angel. He's in agony, and his sweat becomes as drops of blood. And he rises from prayer, and he comes to the disciples. And where does he find them? He finds them sleeping. He tells them the same thing, and he goes, and he comes back, and he tells them the same thing. Do you see what the matter of this petition is? Luke 22 gives us this important key in understanding the meaning of lead us not into temptation. Because in the Garden of Gethsemane, we find this prayer, this resting in God, this trusting oneself over to Him, and giving oneself over to the Lord, and finding in Him sufficiency in prayer being utilized. And then we see what it is not to do so. Very soon they come with clubs and torches and swords, and those who did not pray fled. And those who did not pray fell. And so the matter of it is times of great trial, times of testing, that the Lord would discover to us our own tendencies, that He would say to us, cast yourself upon me. It is to make us aware that Satan is an enemy who would kill you in an instant if he were able. He is malicious. It is to make you understand that sin is, as Jeremiah Burroughs called it, the evil of evils. It is the greatest evil, and we ought to pray against it constantly, regularly, never resting in ourselves. And so then we get to the request of this petition. What is it that Jesus teaches us to pray? Jesus teaches us to pray for two things: preventing grace and assisting grace. Preventing grace, then, and lead us not into temptation. Don't desire trials. Desire Christ. Don't desire struggles and hardships and tribulation. There are those in our day that have a martyr complex, and they say things like, well, if only persecution would come, then the church would be really well off. But Jesus says, pray against that. Pray against that and look to Jesus, That's what you're asking for. You're asking for assisting grace. You're asking that God will keep you from it, or preventing grace. You're asking Him to keep you even from those trials because you can't trust yourself. You don't have any sort of trust that you will stand. Now, I'm going to tell on myself for just a moment. When I was a young man, I thought I was particularly spiritual and in a particularly spiritual spot. And I was in a place where I said, Lord, I know that You're at work in me, and I am doing well, and I am just ready, Lord, for whatever You bring my way. And I hit a deer. I was driving, and I hit a deer, and I wasn't ready for that. The Lord revealed to me the poverty of spirit that I had, that I was proud. I didn't have the money. I also only had liability insurance, so I didn't have the insurance either. You see, we don't pray for Him to do that. No, we pray, Lord, give me more of Christ. Give me more of Him. Let me look more to Him. Let me draw closer to Him. Let me be made more like Him. And in my tribulation, in my struggles and trials, when You bring me to those, I pray that You will sustain me, but keep me from them, because I don't trust myself. And so we ask for preventing grace. Lead us not in temptation. And so as we see that God uses those things and can bring good from them, we learn some things. We learn that we are ever in danger to be tested. We are ever in danger to be tempted. Any good thing can become a bad thing. Any good thing our hearts will take and turn into idols, and Satan would take us and tempt us to turn them into idols. And the Lord tells us, He tells us that we are to look to Him in every way, that we might not fall when danger comes from Satan, from self, from the world. But we also understand that His testing comes by His own wise and holy ends, so that we don't need to fear it. We pray against it. We fear ourselves and our own hearts, but we trust Him. I had one old professor used to say, God will have you in the furnace, but always remember that His hand is on the thermostat. He's in charge. He is doing it in order to refine you, in order to make you more like Jesus. And so it's for His wise ends. And so then we know that no temptation that comes, no testing that comes, it will come to us except that there is an overruling providence. We can trust Him, even in the midst of the pain, even in the midst of the hurt. And we also know, as we pray this, lead us not into temptation, that unless the Lord keeps us from it, we're sure of an attack. We are sure of trouble. That there is no hope of mercy in our enemies. That Satan will not let you rest. He's roaming the earth, traveling back and forth like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. That your hearts are ever seeking out things away from God. Even after being made in His image, we still battle with corruption. Read Romans 7 this afternoon for reference. We can never rest. We can never rest. We can only go to Jesus. So God may lead us into trial to discover to us our idols, to discover to us our weakness, and to show us that we are to desire to keep from being tested. We're not able in ourselves to stand. And so we ask for Him to keep us from it, for preventing grace, but also we ask Him for assisting grace, but deliver us from evil. Lead us not into it, but deliver us from it. Don't let us find ourselves there, but keep us. Where do we turn then? We've said not to ourselves, not inward, not to our own strength. We turn to Christ. Take 1 Corinthians 1:30, memorize it. Go to it daily. But of Him are ye in Christ, whom he has made unto us sanctification, or wisdom and sanctification and righteousness and redemption. In Christ is all your sufficiency. You want to be assisted? Go to Jesus. Collapse on Christ. It's not a mantra. It's not magic. But it is where you turn. You turn to Christ. We're asking of deliverance from evil. We're asking for it. Deliverance from these trials. Deliverance from sin. Deliverance from whatever would draw our souls to sin. Are you serious about this prayer? And you will ask the Lord to rid you of all of those things that entice you to sin, whatever they may be. So we're asking for deliverance from evil, because there is no escaping it. No escaping temptation while we are in this world. We're asking for deliverance of it. When we speak of sin, we understand that to be, again, the evil of evils. Thomas Boston said it this way: What makes the devil evil, the world evil, and the heart evil but sin? Strip them of sin and there would be no evil in them. And so we ask for deliverance. We ask that when we are brought to trial, that he would make us to stand. And when we fall into it, that he would bring us out of it, and that he would not let us fall into it again. That's the deliverance that we're seeking. That's the mercy that we are after. And so then this petition is to humble us, that we recognize that only God can deliver us. That only God, and not our own strength, and not our own willpower. We don't walk around saying, I have to do better. We walk around as those who say, Christ is better. Christ is better than this temptation. Christ is better than whatever this sin might offer me. Christ is better than whatever lies Satan might tell me. Deliver us from evil. Let us turn to Jesus at every point. And then it teaches us this, that we must pray to be delivered from sin absolutely, that we would long to be delivered from it, whatever rate it is, whatever cost there is, that we would be rid of it. Jesus would say it in this way, that if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. And so that we ought to be, whatever the cost, wanting to be rid of sin. Because if we move through this world without the care of being ensnared in sin, it's a sign that we're at home in the world and we're not looking for that country to come. If we're comfortable in it, if we don't say, Lord, let me not be tested or tempted, and let me not fall into sin, and deliver me when I do, that's a sign that this world holds more for us than heaven. If you would rather have sin than Christ, you will never like heaven. And so Jesus teaches us to pray, doesn't he? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. And how does that deliverance come? In the face of Jesus Christ. You go to him for all of your sufficiency, for justification, for righteousness, for wisdom, for redemption. Let Christ be everything to you. Let's pray.